are listening to The Real BS Show, starring B and S.
That's right.
From the ends of the earth. Speaking of the ends of the earth, Mr. S.
Yeah.
Do you want to save the planet?
Well, I think we can.
Or you just want to save your own neck?
Well, it's kind of both.
The planet could care less, you know that.
Oh, that's true. Well, it does in a way because, you know,
life shakes us off like a bunch of fleas.
Oh, sure. I think that's one of the things that we are always on our back is on that future. What if, you know?
Well, you think there's an end to the earth or just an end to humanity?
There's a potential. It's happened before.
What do you think would come first?
That's
humanity disappearing? Becoming extinct?
I think if humanity died, Earth would still go on, life would go on. But there's more of a higher potential chance for everything to go.
So you think the Earth could be destroyed?
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's a higher chance for that, I think.
All right, well, let's dig into this today, okay?
Yeah.
You want to discuss the ends of the Earth?
The end of existence? Yeah, let's get into that.
All right. Well, we're going to have to find some good explanatory music.
Yeah.
Do you have a song that could explain what's going on? Hey, my leg hurts. I got to get an operation, so I might be dead next week. This could be my last show.
Oh, jeez, Bill.
Jeez. Oh, boy.
It's not the end of Bill, you know.
Well, hopefully not, but who knows. I don't think the Earth could care less, you know. Just keep right on trucking.
Right.
I'm an old dinosaur.
Well, you know, the dinosaurs are still around. You got birds.
No, they just barely made it. All the big ones kicked off. Yeah. Not enough food. Okay, what kind of song do you have?
Let's do the universe song.
Is that the guys from England or?
Yeah, Monty Python. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That should educate our audience.
Trying to give some background as well.
Yeah, right. Then we can move into the predictions of how the Earth could end.
Right.
Stephen Hawking. You know, some other people.
Right.
And then some of the close calls, maybe. That
right.
Almost ended the world that people might not know about.
Right.
You ready?
I'm ready.
You got the Monty Python song?
I'm ready to go.
Yeah, okay, let's go.
Can we have your liver then?
No, I'd be scared.
All right. I'll tell you what. Look, listen to this.
Whenever life gets you down, Mrs. Brown, and things seem hard or tough, and people are stupid, obnoxious, or daft, and you feel that you've had quite enough, just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving and revolving at 900 miles an hour, that's orbiting at 19 miles a second, so it's reckoned a sun that is the source of all our power. The sun and you and me and all the stars that we can see are moving at a million miles a day in an outer spiral arm at 40,000 miles an hour of the galaxy we call the Milky Way. Our galaxy itself contains 100 billion stars. It's 100,000 light years side to side. It bulges in the middle, 16,000 light years thick, but out by us it's just 3,000 light years wide. We're 30,000 light years from galactic central point. We go round every 200 million years. And our galaxy is only one of millions of billions in this amazing and expanding universe. keeps on expanding and expanding in all of the directions it can whiz. As fast as it can go, at the speed of light, you know, 12 million miles a minute, and that's the fastest speed there is. So remember when you're feeling very small and insecure, how amazingly unlikely is your birth. And pray that there's intelligent life somewhere up in space, 'cause there's bugger all down here on Earth.
Makes you feel so sort of insignificant, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Can we have your liver, then?
Yeah, all right, you talked me into it.
Eric!
There you go. Does that help you understand the internet?
Yeah.
I mean, not the internet. The universe. I get them two mixed up.
Is there any difference between the internet
and the universe? No, I think they're becoming the same. So let's say, well, do you remember the dinosaurs?
Yeah.
Well, no, you weren't that old. I remember them, but you weren't born yet.
Right.
So what happened? An asteroid hit the Earth.
Yes.
Down by Mexico or...
Yeah, Yucatan Peninsula.
Okay. And it wiped out pretty much everything. Well, yeah, pretty, especially the big guys.
The large megafauna on land and in the ocean.
Well, you know what? It's kind of a good thing that happened, because if the dinosaurs kept on going, I don't think we would have been here.
Yeah. The largest mammal was probably the size of a raccoon, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, small. Well, they're all underground. It's the only place they could hide.
Yeah.
So if that never happened, the dinosaurs still might be running the show.
Oh, sure.
There would be no internet. Yeah.
And before that, there was other extinctions. There was mammals came from sauropods, and sauropods one time ruled. And
what's a sauropod?
That's the precursor to mammals. And they ruled before the dinosaurs. Then there was an extinction event with them. And that led to the dinosaurs to rule the Earth.
Well, how did they become extinct?
They think an asteroid or some kind of...
big volcano or
climate
something.
Change that happened. There was...
Ice age?
Ice age, heat waves, drought, volcanoes. I mean, we have a...
Pretty tough place to live there.
Oh, sure.
Then.
I mean, but let's factor in, you know, the Earth is kind of like a Garden of Eden. We don't... There's not much else out there.
But the vegetation oxygen didn't even show up until,
480 billion years ago, or 100 million, I'm sorry. But here's the thing. Oxygen came from bacteria and algae, and that's what caused us to have 20% oxygen in the air. And it's just crazy thinking about the events before that.
So what do plants breathe?
CO2.
All right, so they breathe it. They like CO2.
That's correct.
And we like oxygen.
That's right.
So what we breathe out, they breathe in?
That's right.
And what they breathe out, we breathe in.
That's correct.
So we got to have plants.
That's right.
So without plants, we're nothing.
And algae, yeah. Yeah, without algae and plants and bacteria.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, you know, there's other thing, too, is like there was an extinction event that was even, they called it the Great... I'm not sure of the name, but the Great Extinction Event, where 90% of species on Earth died out. And that was another huge extinction event. They called it the Great Dying, they called it. It's like a simple name, the Great Dying.
Why, because they didn't have no food or what?
Asteroid, volcano, you know, things like that. It's the same thing with the dinosaurs, too. You know, it wasn't just the asteroid, it was also volcanoes. In the Dragon traps in India. Then there was the Younger Dryas. That was 10,000 years ago, roughly, 10,000 years ago. And they think that caused humans to start farming because before it was just hunter-gatherer. And then they started farming in the Middle East because they were either you farmed or you starved. And... it kind of led on. That was probably because
we've gotten away from that, huh?
Oh, sure. But, you know, but see, the thing is, you know, the Younger Dryas was caused by probably an asteroid that hit Greenland.
Hmm.
It's just things like that, you know.
We've got to be on the lookout for these asteroids.
Oh, yeah.
Holy smokes.
Or even go to 1859, where there was a solar flare that took out.
Solar flare, that's a biggie.
That was a big one. You know, it took out the telecom.
The telegraph system went down.
Right.
For weeks.
But what if there was an asteroid that hit us, you know? I mean, who knows?
Oh, that's probably the worst. Holy cow.
Right.
Well, I tell you what do you think a weather forecaster would do if an asteroid was headed this way?
Right.
What do you think his forecast would be like?
I'm wondering. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what. I found one that did just that, a weather forecaster that did just that. He made a forecast for the week, and you got to hear it. So it's kind of funny.
Okay.
All right. So let's cue that up, and we'll play that for everybody.
All right. We're ready.
This is the end of the Earth scenario.
Thank you, Jim. Hi, folks. How are you? I'm going to go ahead and bring you to the rest of this week's forecast, starting with Wednesday the 19th, which is tonight. We're going to have a low of about 38 degrees and clear skies moving on into tomorrow, which is Thursday the 20th. Pretty clear skies, a chance of rain at the end of the day, 40% chance of precipitation. With a high of about 38 degrees and a low of about 32, it's going to be a little bit of a cooler one, which moves you on to Friday here. Friday, there's going to be a high of about 666 degrees and a low of death and hell. There's going to be fireballs flying through the sky, chaos everywhere. Your whole family's probably not going to make it. If you look over here, I'm going to move on to Saturday and Sunday. Saturday and Sunday, there's absolute nothingness anymore. Everybody's gone. Now, in light of the situation, I get to leave my fat wildebeest of a wife and my two really good-for-nothing pieces of kids. I'm happy as hell. I wasted the last 12 years of my life being with you. I hope you're watching, you piece of trash. Let's just finish off the night well. Who cares anymore? This is my last day. I quit. Can't get this open. Now I'm angry. I'd rather die than not have this open. Hold on one second. Here we go. There we go. All right. Thank you, guys. Cheers. Hope you all the worst. This is real alcohol. And I wish you guys nothing. Goodbye. This was Don Givafook. And I really don't.
That is a weather forecast. Take to the bank.
Yeah, you know, I have to say that was a great performance, you know. I could even hear when he took the cap off, you know. And it was
yeah, thunk. Well, the truth comes out at the very end.
Right.
Oh, 12 years of his life gone. Oh, that was funny. Okay, where was we? Oh, we're talking about the end of the earth. That ain't funny.
Right.
It's not supposed to be. What do you think, what's your impression, or how do you think, what's the most likely thing to happen that would really cause the most artificial intelligence? I mean, we're close to that.
Oh, yeah. Artificial intelligence is really a serious issue. Stephen Hawking was talking about it. Elon Musk is talking about it.
Maybe we'll get a sound bite from Stephen Hawking.
Right, yeah.
See what he says. But overpopulation, of course, that's close too. I mean, it's, you know, another 50, 80 years or so. It could be, no, a couple hundred years, I think it was, yeah.
Right.
I don't remember. But the asteroid thing is everybody seems to jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of asteroids out there. There's a lot of comets floating around.
Yeah.
You know, they have the Kuiper belt. You have the... what's the other one that starts with a V that's between U.S., the Earth and Mars? There's a lot of asteroids out there.
Yeah.
And sometimes they get a little jarbled and sometimes
what if they bang into each other and one shoots off in a screwy direction? And,
right.
And do we have the ability to guard against that to push them out of the way
or blow them up? There's plans, but we don't, you know, I don't know how well... they would work. I mean, one that I've heard is they don't want to blow things up because then it would make smaller ones.
Bunch of little ones.
Yeah. So what their idea is to nudge them out of the way.
Yeah, push them.
Yeah.
So, oh, boy. I don't know. That's
Yeah.
The government, you think NASA's got it more under control? Maybe we'll call up Tesla and see what he could.
Yeah, Elon Musk from SpaceX.
Yeah.
No, I heard that there was a there's a contingency plan to nudge.
Yeah, but you know, they work on all this stuff, and who's going to pay them?
Right.
It's all about money.
Sure.
So you build this big rocket and big asteroid moving gizmo.
Right.
And then what? Who's going to pay you?
Right. That's where the AI could do it. The robots could, you know? I mean,
yeah. The robots in the last minute say, oh, heck with them.
They go on strike.
Yeah. We're not paid enough. Wow. So what do we got on tap? We got to kind of come up with a bunch of different ways the Earth could end. And
right.
Just enlighten everybody, see what everybody thinks.
Yeah.
You know, what might be.
Some okay. predictions that people have had, yeah.
All right. Well, I got a friend that's got a video there, or an audio thing there. And he's got 25 ways that's very possible. So why don't we share that with everybody and get the... We're going to put our email address on the website. So if you got any comments, you can email us.
Right.
That's the safest way to do it, I think.
Right.
That way Gmail will filter.
Well, not just that, but you also could do carrier pigeon, you know? If you
have friggin' pigeons will get lost. Starve. Okay, 25 ways to darken the earth.
When someone mentions the end of the world, it's usually not a cheery topic. Still, scientists, religious leaders, and world experts pour gas on the fire with their dark predictions. From asteroids annihilating the planet to a devastating flu pandemic wiping out the human race, there's, unfortunately, plenty of terrifying ways the world can end. You might even find a few that you had no idea were possible. While some of these scenarios could be imminent, others aren't going to happen for some time. Either way, it doesn't stop the existential dread from taking over your thoughts. You might even become a doomsday prepper after this. I'm Mike with List25, and here are 25 terrifying dark predictions about the end of the world. WR104 explosion. Scientists have warned that if the star WR104 exploded into a supernova, which it's expected to do, it would release a powerful and deadly gamma ray burst toward the Earth, destroying the ozone layer and killing all life as we know.
24.
Supervolcano. The Geological Society estimates that within a million years, the Earth will have undergone an eruption of a supervolcano. It would be large enough to spew 3,200 kilometers cubed in hot magma. This would be comparable to an event that happened 75,000 years ago, causing a volcanic winter of 6 to 10 years.
23.
Isaac Newton's prediction. Famed mathematician, physicist, and philosopher Isaac Newton believed, after extensive study of the Bible, that catastrophic wars would eventually destroy the Earth in 2060. However, he also believed the world would be made anew by God, ushering in a new divine era.
22.
Robots. While science fiction authors have been saying robots will take over the world for years, physicist Stephen Hawking claimed it's no laughing matter and is based in reality. He said if artificial intelligence replicates itself, it'll eventually overpower humanity and wipe us out.
21.
MIT prediction. MIT developed a computer program called World One in 1973 to help predict the end of the world. It used data like pollution levels, population growth, the amount of natural resources, and quality of life. It predicted that civilization will end by 2040, with 2020 being the critical point when things start to go downhill.
20.
The sun's brightness. Scientists predict that the sun's increasing brightness will weather the Earth's crust and drop the carbon dioxide levels enough to wipe out all vegetation. As a byproduct, humans and animals will also go extinct if they haven't already. But keep in mind, this isn't said to happen for another 500 million years.
I have
sunglasses. Yeah, we're ready.
19.
Pandemic. Bill Gates has warned that the next flu pandemic is right around the corner, and we're not prepared for it. With the human population rising and the ability to create weaponized diseases more prevalent, he predicted that if we don't do something, 30 million people will die within the first 6 months. And that's just the start.
18.
UN prediction. Recently, the UN released a report by scientists that the world has roughly 12 years to work together and reduce CO2 emissions before irreversible and cataclysmic events take place due to climate change. They predict if nothing is done, overwhelming heat, floods, and famine will spread more disease, destabilize markets, and cause overwhelming poverty across the world.
17.
Asteroid. According to Oxford University, Professor Nick Bostrom, an asteroid colliding with Earth only needs to be about 1 kilometer in diameter to render all human life extinct. He estimates an asteroid of that kind hits Earth once every 500,000 years.
16.
Solar flares. Massive solar flares have the ability to shut down power grids, creating long-standing blackouts that could potentially cost America alone $41.5 billion a day. With the electrical grid down, the economy would be greatly destabilized.
15.
Superhumans. Stephen Hawking also predicted that developments in genome manipulation could lead to an entire generation of superhumans. The wealthy, he claims, would likely be the first to edit their own DNA and the DNA of their children, making everyone else obsolete. Humanity as we know it would be wiped out.
14.
Nuclear war. Nuclear war is a zero-sum game. Once one bomb goes off, others will follow, resulting in devastating loss of life and a cataclysmic fallout. Those who survive will live in a much darker world. Many have predicted that with the rise in tension between the US and Russia, China, and North Korea, that a nuclear war could be imminent.
13.
Information apocalypse. In early 2016, Aviv Avadia predicted the fake news dilemma that shook the political and news world. Now he's predicting that new, easily accessible tools will allow people to fake pretty much anything, creating realistic audio and visual media of people or politicians saying whatever they want. This breakdown in factual information, Avadia believes, will be greatly destabilizing and could trigger a number of cataclysmic world-ending outcomes.
12.
Hadron Collider. Scientists working at CERN on the Hadron Collider have admitted it could produce black holes, though they claim it's totally safe. Conspiracy theorists have predicted, however, the collider will unleash an unstoppable black hole that will swallow up the Earth.
11.
Jewish end times prediction. Rabbi Moses Israel Benjamin predicted in a book he published in 1894 that when there's a solar eclipse in the Hebrew month of Elul, it'll be the sign of the beginning of the end of times. In his work, he states, "It's a bad sign for the other nations, bringing great damage to the kings of the East and bringing great storms and death to animals."
10.
Reversal of Earth's magnetic field. Some 780,000 years ago, the Earth's poles flipped, and scientists predicted it's primed to do the same thing again. The reversal of the Earth's poles could have seriously devastating effects on our electrical grid and satellites that help keep our systems running. Without them, it could destabilize the world, and there wouldn't be much we could do about it.
9.
Overpopulation. The Earth can only sustain so many people, but this is especially true with increasing energy consumption. Scientists, including Stephen Hawking, predicted that given our current population trajectory, the Earth has 600 years before being uninhabitable.
8.
Rogue black hole. Scientists have predicted that huge wandering black holes could head toward Earth and swallow us up. What's even more terrifying is we'd know about it for years and wouldn't be able to do a thing about it. So far, they've found 60 of these black holes. Hopefully one doesn't come near us anytime soon.
7.
Aliens. Some experts predicted that we're just a few years away from making contact with extraterrestrials. However, if true, according to Stephen Hawking, it wouldn't be a happy encounter. He compared it to when Native Americans encountered Columbus. They likely would be technologically advanced and could carry diseases that would wipe most of us out.
6.
Christian apocalypse. The Bible has some of the most terrifying end times imagery in history, predicting that when the world ends, it'll be full of wars, famine, earthquakes, tribulation, and suffering. led by an antichrist figure, 10 kingdoms will rise and their armies will march into Israel. Many have tried and failed to predict when this will take place. Current conspiracy theorists believe it'll happen in 2025.
5.
Hacking. With our world becoming ever more protected, many worry it could be setting us up for total disaster. Tech experts have predicted that hackers are becoming more sophisticated and could target electrical grids, nuclear power plants, and water treatment facilities, bringing them down and sending civilization into anarchy. Of course, if systems are too destabilized, it would have a ripple effect across the globe.
4.
Mathematical prediction. Geophysicist Professor Daniel Rothman developed a mathematical formula to help him predict the potential end of the world. It determined that the oceans would hold so much carbon that mass extinction would be inevitable by 2100.
3.
Hopi prediction. The Native American Hopi tribe predicted that by the end of the world, it would be covered in iron snakes, stone rivers, and giant spider webs. If that's not enough to give you the shivers, to top it all off, we'll be hit by a giant blue star.
2.
The Earth's core cooled. Some scientists have predicted that the Earth's very hot molten core could cool down significantly, resulting in a breakdown of the atmosphere and habitable life. They believe the same thing happened to Mars billions of years ago.
1.
A planet collides with ours. Scientists also believe we might be due for a planetary collision with Earth. This would happen if a rogue planet entered our solar system and headed straight for us. It's not unprecedented, as they also believe this happened to Earth billions of years ago and formed the moon.
This is the Real BS Show, coming to you live from the moon. Always wondered where the moon came from, now I know.
Yeah, something collided with the Earth, is a planet size, collided, and the debris from the Earth coalesced and formed the moon.
How'd it get so round, so perfectly round?
Gravity.
Gravity? Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I think without the moon, we wouldn't be here.
It'd be a good question. The tides do affect the ocean, and we came from the ocean.
It also has something to do with our timing.
Right.
How fast things spin around. And
also, the moon protects us from things coming at us. It usually hits the moon inside of us.
Well, that's pot luck there.
And also Jupiter. Jupiter protects us. A lot of things hit Jupiter from its gravity. It pulls it in.
Yeah, good. Well, that's all big gas ball anyways, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what? I was talking to an alien the other day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of them flying guys, flying saucers and stuff.
Area 51.
And I asked him, how come you guys haven't come to visit us?
Right.
He says, we got so close to the Earth, there was so much junk flying around, circling the Earth. There's so much space junk out there. He figured you guys are all a bunch of slobs. We don't even want to go there.
Yeah.
I said, well, makes sense to me. what do you think about that, Seth?
That's funny.
Now, that's not BS. That's real.
That's real.
Real BS.
Real BS.
shoot.
That's artificial.
All right. So the moon got there with a big, big collision of some sort. And
right.
And we're talking millions and billions of years here for all this stuff to take shape.
This is way before life formed on Earth.
So, I mean, without the sun, we're dead meat. Right?
Yeah, the sun takes 8 minutes for light to hit us. And we wouldn't know the sun went out for 8 minutes.
You think somebody would warn us? Say, hey, you got 8 minutes to go?
It's a good question. Yeah. I don't know.
Huh. The corona, that mass ejection, that's very interesting. EMP.
Yeah.
I think North Korea and China are trying to develop those. So.
Yeah, I think the U.S. too, probably.
Shut the lights off.
I think that technology is ready here.
So that's going to be exciting. What else? I forgot already.
Volcanoes.
Volcanoes and that. Well, we got those anyway. But I think if Yellowstone lets go, I think we're in trouble.
That's going to be definitely... I've heard studies done on that one, and it would disrupt a lot.
That's a big area of land out there. If that thing blows,
it's not as big as the ones that were in Russia or in India. The ones that used to be in Russia and India, they caused mass extinctions. Whereas Yellowstone, they predict it wouldn't cause a mass extinction, but it would cause like 10 years of recovery.
Yeah, but those earlier ones didn't have as the technology that we got now.
No.
So, I mean, the interruption to the technology we have is, oh, I mean, we're it's like food. I mean, we can't do without electricity.
Yeah.
Millions would die without that. You know, it's a...
And Yellowstone, where it would hit, it would disrupt U.S. food production in the in the Midwest.
We'd have to call up China and see if they'd sell us some soybeans or something.
Well, we're selling them to them.
Yeah. Ooh. I don't know. You think it's worth worrying about, or you just say, ah, to heck with it?
I'm not so worried about it. I'm sure there's a lot of people worried about it, but I don't think it's a major issue. Because a lot of the things are so far apart from happening, we don't know when or if it would. And if it does happen, what can you do?
What's that guy? What do you call his wife?
A fat wildebeest sloth.
Wildebeest of a wife.
Yeah.
And his useless kids.
Yeah. Bleepity useless kids.
Yeah.
Or useless bleepity kids.
That got me.
Yeah.
Well, when the end comes, everybody tell the truth, you think?
Maybe.
And then what happens if it don't happen?
I am not sure.
Uh-oh. What if it didn't happen? That poor caster have to go home and talk to his wife?
Right.
Oh, shoot. So what do we got on tap here? What's next?
We have that next segment coming up. Of, I forgot.
Any scientific guys like that Stephen Hawking's guy?
Stephen Hawking's. Yeah,
he had a couple of predictions that were really he was really serious about, and being he was such a smart guy and well respected. I think we should. Why don't we listen to him? That'd be a good thing to share.
Okay.
I know it might be a little dry, but. He's talking with his eyes, I think that's what you said.
Yeah, he reads his screen and blinks his eyes, and the computer camera picks it up and interprets where he's looking at, and when he blinks, and it selects a letter.
Wow.
And then he has to move on. He's dead now, but that's how they did it.
Yeah.
That's a little...
He lived a long time in that condition.
Wow. Yeah, he had multiple sclerosis, right?
I mean, something that just ate him up. He started off as a normal kid, but... Ate him up.
He didn't do time. He did well for his years.
Yeah. I think he was 80 or something like
that.
He was close to it. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's revisit Stephen Hawking and his predictions.
Stephen Hawking was born on January 8th of 1942 on the 300th anniversary of Galileo's death. The man was a genius that, although bound to a wheelchair by a strange form of ALS, was able to develop major contributions to the fields of cosmology, general relativity, and quantum gravity, especially in the context of black holes. Eventually, the man lost his ability to use his voice. From there on, he was only able to talk with the help of a computer. But whenever he spoke, the world listened. All the way up until his death on March 14th of 2018, the same date on which Albert Einstein was born. Some say that intelligence can be a curse because it allows individuals to understand the natural world in a better context. The man was in tune with nature and the cosmos. But throughout his career, Stephen had two serious concerns with the future of humanity. Concerns that will make your blood run cold. The first deals with human overpopulation, something that at the current rate cannot continue into the next millennium. Hear it in his own words.
One reason is that the Earth is becoming too small for us. In the last 200 years, the growth has become exponential. That is, the population grows by the same percentage each year. Currently, the rate is about 1.9% a year. This may not sound very much, but it means that the world population doubles every 40 years. I will celebrate my 80th birthday in 2022, and in my lifetime, the world's population has quadrupled. This exponential growth cannot continue into the next millennium. By the year 2600, the world's population would be standing shoulder to shoulder, and the electricity consumption would make the Earth glow red hot. This is untenable.
His second warning derives from the massive progress and development of artificial intelligence, that even though these could bring in huge benefits, the effects of a computer emulating the human brain and exceeding it could be catastrophic.
Every aspect of our lives will be transformed. In short, success in creating AI could be the biggest event in the history of our civilization. But it could also be the last, unless we learn how to avoid the risks. Alongside the benefits, AI will also bring dangers, like powerful autonomous weapons, or new ways for the few to oppress the many. It will bring great disruption to our economy. And in the future, AI could develop a will of its own, a will that is in conflict with ours. In short, the rise of powerful AI will be either the best or the worst thing ever to happen to humanity. We do not yet know which. That is why in 2014, I and a few others called for more research to be done in this area.
That means this is the real BS show. That's me speaking in tongues.
Glaciola.
I read all about that.
Yeah.
I think an axe. I'm not sure what it was.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? There's been a lot of predictions over the years of the Earth coming to a drastic end, whether it's in the Bible or, you know, all kinds of people.
Oh, almost every culture has one, I would say. They all have a end of humanity or end of Earth story, wouldn't you say? I mean,
I've heard a lot of different things, and some religious, some, you know, I guess more religious than anything, but nothing's happened yet.
Well, there has been things that happened.
Well, that was before we were walking around.
Right. I mean, the last one that was on record was 12,000 years ago with Younger Dryas. And that shaped...
Is that the Ice Age?
Well, it was the end, part of it? The end of the Ice Age. And that's when all the flooding happened, and there was droughts, and it changed...
So when the Grand Canyon was made.
Yeah, and then there
about 10 minutes.
Yeah. It was probably like 100 years, but still, that's a very short time frame for everything just to melt, and then to have great drying, and then the Atlantic Ocean currents got saturated with fresh water. And it changed the cooling cycle, how the water rotates around. And, you know, we could face that again.
Why not?
You know?
Might be fun. I don't know. This is the real BS show, so don't listen to me.
Right, or me. Especially the S part.
Well, you're more interesting. You got more...
I don't know.
more plausible information.
Well, maybe.
Me, I don't. I just repeat what I've heard elsewhere.
I am basically doing the same thing.
Yeah, but you got better sources than me. Yeah, I didn't do my Bible studies this last couple weeks. I've been I got to go to the doctor and get my leg fixed.
Right.
It kind of got me throwed me a curve.
And then when you get it fixed, you know, it's going to be like the floodwaters being opening, and you'll feel amazing. You know.
Well, hopefully either that or I'll be dead. I mean, that's, ooh, boy, it's scary. sound. Of course, yeah, 55 years I haven't been in the hospital, so.
Right.
You know, I'm a little novice at this. I'm a rookie. Again, put me in the children's ward, you know. Read me a bedtime story. Oh, boy.
Give you hot cocoa.
Yeah, ice cream.
You want those nurses to take care of you? Is that what it is?
The last time I was in there, I remember, now I had to be 6 years old or seven or something. I got my tonsils out.
Yeah.
And I remember they put this, looked like a milkshake thing with cotton in it and ether. And they told me to start counting backwards from 100. And I bet they don't do that anymore, huh?
I don't know. They do laughing gas, and they do some things like that.
They just inject you with something, and out you go.
Yeah, anesthesia nowadays.
That's what they did when I got my cataracts taken out. Yeah. I just went to sleep, and I woke up, and I was all done.
Yeah.
So now that was good.
And now you can see through walls.
Yeah, now I can read your chart in the next room. Yeah, so I'm a little screwed up there. So my Bible studies are lacking. So I'm not doing like Revelations. Now there's a lot of predictions going on there, but geez, oh man, I couldn't keep up with that.
There's a lot you have to, when you're studying the theology of
that. I think you do some LSD and read the Revelations and see what happens.
There's a possibility with that's what it was, but
holy cow,
a lot of that has a lot of tie back to if you read on like Daniel, if you remember Daniel in the Old Testament.
Yeah, he was reading dreams and. He was making predictions, but that makes sense,
right?
To me, I mean, those were kind of like spot on. That's one of the best ones in there,
right?
That I, you know, and he got his people out of Babylon, wasn't it, or someplace?
It was essentially
Nebuchadnezzar, or yeah, who was that?
Assyrians and
yeah,
Babylonians. Yeah, they were somehow in Babylon. They were in Babylonian captivity, and then
yeah, right.
The Persians came in and conquered the Babylonians.
And Cyrus the Great let him go?
Yeah.
Said, okay, you boys, head back to your...
As long as you're not harming anybody else, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, right.
Kind of the foundation of America, you know, in a lot
of ways.
That's
where the Constitution came from.
Yeah.
Iran.
Yeah.
Cyrus the Great. He was a good dude.
Yeah.
He'd go conquer somebody, and they'd say, there's no sense of fighting. We want to be part of you guys.
Right.
We want to be...
Right.
We give up. We want you to rule us, not the other guys we got. So that was a good start for Iran, but they blew it. Darius the Great, that was his son, he took over. He was pretty good, too, but went downhill from there.
Yep. Then you had Xerxes, who got conquered by Alexander the Great.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of fighting going on in back in them days. Of course, we're still fighting, so.
Well, I mean, you know, if you go by Steven Pinker, he says that we're seeing better times now. We have less murder, we have less rape, we have less violent crime, and wars, even though they became more brutal, there's less deaths from war on civilians and military. So we're living more peaceful times. But I sometimes wonder, do peaceful times make weak people? You know,
what do you think if an asteroid was headed this way? Do you think Russia, China, America, Britain, you think everybody join together, join forces and try to, you know, do something to avert that disaster?
You'd think, you'd hope.
I mean, why fight with each other then if the whole thing's going to go up in smoke?
Right.
So why not think that way now?
Well, we all came out of Africa. You think we'd be more... tied together, but I sometimes wonder that.
Crazy. Yeah, I mean, none of us are going to be here that long, so why are we fighting? Why is everybody fighting with it? It's all about money.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I wouldn't say just money, though.
Resources. I mean,
there's control. When one group of people have another projection of how they want to live or be, it does ultimately conflict with somebody else how they want to live, and there's better ways of handling it. But when there's seeds been sowed in the past, you know, you grew up in the Cold War. I was at the tail end of it, and I remember as a kid the tail end of the Cold War, how that was, and it was basically still a hot war, but just not directly. We came close many times to utter destruction.
With so many more than anybody really knows.
Because
a lot of it was
The USSR what they thought was a missile coming in, like an ICBM.
Yeah, four or five of them headed this way.
And it tripped their triggers, and they were about to push the button.
There was one guy that was supposed to, and he said,
there's something wrong about this.
Yeah, he said, something's not right. And sure enough, he, you know, thanks to him,
right,
didn't happen.
And then there was another time, you know, that happened with the Cuban Missile Crisis. You know, I mean, that came very close.
Yeah.
Fidel Castro was willing to see the United States leveled and the Soviet Union leveled and Cuba leveled, just for the sake of it. And that's how, like, sociopathic people can be.
Yeah.
That's kind of like unnerving to think about. You know, it was that close.
But it's strange. I mean, everybody's going to be gone anyway. So, you know, why fuss? You know,
right. I think there's goals and purpose. You
think these people would figure that out by now?
You know, I mean, there's the future. You know, we have kids, and I think the future lies with them, and we have to make the best for them and make a world that's good for them. So we have to start living our lives first by doing good for ourselves. And making sure immediately our family around us is taken care of, and then you reach out to the community and take care of it. And that can be a goal if you don't have any goals, is doing good in the world.
Well, I think more people are good now than ever before.
Right, I agree with that.
There's just too many people. And all the news tells you about is the nut jobs that go off the deep end.
And again, usually that's not the case. Statistically, we're seeing less crime, and yeah, we're seeing less violence in the world's actually getting a better place. It's
like the news agencies want us to fight with each other.
Or have fear, because fear...
It sells commercials.
Fear does sell, in my opinion. Marketing-wise, it's a tactic to sell. But I don't fear the end of the world. I think that it's unlikely in our lifetime, but it's a possibility. But at the same time, you know, I mean, there's been a lot of predictions in the past that failed, that never came to be true.
I mean, you drive down Route 19 or drive down Route 8, and you're driving down there, and I think, how long has this place been? How long has this road been here?
Right.
It's been here twice as long as that I've been alive, and it'll probably be here twice as long after I'm dead.
Right. I mean, or then you can go even back further. You think about the valleys that you drive through up and down those hills, and think about how long ago the Appalachian Mountains used to be mountains. They used to be bigger than the Himalayas, and got worn down over 200 million years ago, worn down from erosion.
That's from all the pioneers crossing over.
Yeah. This is even before the dinosaurs.
The wagon wheels wore them down.
This is like even before the dinosaurs. Like, you know, these mountains, they were huge, and they got worn down to hills. And I appreciate that when I go driving around the hills around here, and I think about that a lot. Like,
beautiful country, though.
Oh, sure.
Jeez.
And... You know, I sit there and think about that. You know, there's no permanence in the landscape, and there's no permanence in our lives. So you have to go with the flow. There's some things you can't change, but you can change what you can change.
Well, I think nature is a good medicine for, I don't know, stress-free life.
Oh, sure, I agree with that. Like you feeding the deers, not deers, cheat, that's horrible.
Yeah, I have dinner with them every night.
Right.
You know, don't tell anybody because I don't know, it's probably illegal.
No, it's legal what you're doing. You're not baiting them, so you're...
No, I feed them, I sit down there 8 feet away from them, and they all come up and start eating, and I just chit-chat with them, and they don't say much back, they just make a lot of crunching sounds, you know. But they're not as scared of me at all.
You could tell them all your problems.
Yeah, might as well.
They won't tell anybody.
Yeah, they're not going to snitch on you. Yeah, right.
You think about a deer, though. They, let's say 5 years. They have a very short life compared to ours.
Do they? Yeah, I often wondered.
Sometimes they live longer than that, but I'll just say 5 years is like a good number to say. But they will be chased by something, and... If they succeed getting away, they'll go right back to eating like nothing happened.
Right.
Whereas we have issues, are not like life-threatening, let's say. They're minor compared to being chased, to be almost being killed. And we dwell on them for years and years and years and build up all this stress and all this anxiety and
It's called baggage.
Yeah, baggage, carrying on and on and on. And I'm not saying there's nothing, you know, there's obviously reasons to have anxiety and there's reasons to be stressed. But I'm looking at the comparison between the two, like deer just go on, live their lives.
Yeah, the next day they pretty much, unless it happens over and over again, but like I tell them, stay off the road. You know, you're going to get run over. That's why I'm feeding you. So you stay up here.
They haven't evolved fast enough for cars the last 100 years.
No, they like, so every now and then I come home, they're standing right out there in the middle of the road. I said, what's the matter with you guys? So far I've been doing pretty good. The bears haven't been coming around lately. They probably will soon.
Maybe shouldn't be hibernating.
Even the raccoons kind of disappeared. They got tired of me shooting at them with my BB gun. He said, okay, enough of that. Yeah. I didn't hurt anybody. I just kind of woke them up and put a little welt on their butt. And told them to stay out of digging around my house. So what was we going to... We're talking about the end of the earth. And what are we going to... Oh, you know, there's a lot of predictions that didn't happen.
Right.
Let's dig into that and see what people have done or said, or, you know, whether it's religious or scientific or whatever. Let's see what we can dig up.
All right.
And here are 25 times the world was predicted to end, but didn't. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. Pope Sylvester II predicted, along with many other clerics in Europe, that on January 1st, 1000 AD, the world would end. Riots occurred in parts of Europe, and people made pilgrimages to Jerusalem. Apparently, they thought Christianity only had a shelf life of 1,000 years.
24.
German astrologer Johannes Stoffler told everyone the world was going to end on February 1st, 1524, in a great flood, due to where the constellation of Pisces was in the sky. Despite many people moving to higher ground, general panic, and possibly an ark being built, there was no great flood, only a slight rain. Still, about as accurate as current weather forecasters.
23.
Due to completely understandable confusion between real life and mythical eagles, most Romans thought that the city would end in 634 BCE, 120 years after it was founded. This turned out not to be true, and the Romans ended up doing pretty well for themselves.
22.
One of the innocent popes, who was generally not a great person, decided that adding 666 to the year Islam was founded would give us the date of the end of the world. Since no one knows when Islam was founded, and Pope ironically named Innocent was sending crusades to wreck most of the Islamic world at the time, some liberties were taken with dates. But what he came up with was 1284. He was wrong about a lot of things, and this was one of them.
21.
Christopher Columbus wrote a book of prophecies titled Book of Prophecies. That was weird. It included a list of things that must happen before the second coming of Christ, such as the Garden of Eden must be found, and a last world emperor must be chosen. Despite neither of those things having happened yet, Columbus then went on to predict the end of the world in 1656 or 1658.
20.
The tails of comets contain a poisonous gas called cyanogen. When scientists discovered this in the 20th century, there was panic about the coming of Halley's Comet as Earth passed through its long tail. Despite the fact that there is nothing to fear, in 1910, the passing of the comet was viewed as doomsday coming.
19.
Grigori Rasputin predicted over 100 years ago that the world would end on August 31st, 2013. He warned of a terrible storm and that fire will swallow all life on land, and then life will die and there will be the silence of the grave. Then, supposedly, Jesus would come hang out and comfort survivors for a few days and then go back to heaven.
18.
Charles Taze Russell founded the Jehovah's Witnesses and also predicted that Christ would return in 1914. When that didn't work, the religion he founded went on to predict 7 other times for Armageddon, but Armageddon hasn't RSVP'd.
17.
The year 1999, seventh month, from the sky will come great king of terror, wrote Nostradamus some 400 years ago. His devotees thought that perhaps that meant the end of the world in 1999. The most interesting thing that happened that month was that the third Harry Potter book was released. And no, it was not the book where Voldemort is resurrected.
16.
Neil Chase predicted that New York City would be destroyed via nuclear bomb on March 23, 1994, and that 40 days later, the Battle of Armageddon would start. That's just oddly specific.
15.
Followers of May Brussel, who called themselves Brussels Sprouts, proving they at least have a sense of humor, predicted the end of the world in December 2015, claiming that a 10th planet known as Planet X would collide with Earth, and that all the world governments knew this was going to happen, and it's the biggest cover-up in history since putting fluoride in our water. Don't worry though, since we didn't die last December, they've since updated their predictions to October or later 2016, so we all have that to look forward to.
14.
A Christian evangelist, Harold Camping, predicted the end of the world over a dozen times, including twice in 2011, which he claimed was exactly 7,000 years after the Great Flood. His followers sold their possessions, and in some cases, their homes. Billboards about preparing for Judgment Day went up all over the US, and bars held end-of-the-world parties. Sadly, not only did the world not end, Camping died in 2013. And when/if Christ ever does return to wreck everything, then give out lollipops, Camping won't be here for it.
13.
In the very late 1700s, Joanna Southcott started hearing voices telling her the future. Not cool predictions, like who would win horse races and that someday we'd have airplanes and iPhones, but rather the standard doomsday/famine/crop failure. She did, however, manage to get things sort of right in the fact that the Great Irish Famine lasted from 1799 to 1801, and between that and publishing her own books, she eventually had around 100,000 followers. In 1813, she told everyone that she was pregnant, yet still a virgin, and her child was to be the Messiah, the second coming of Christ, signaling the end of days. She died before a baby could be born at age 64.
12.
1666 was not a great year for London. For one thing, the year before, the plague had killed about one-fifth of the population. For another, many people interpret the Book of Revelations to say 666 is the number of Satan, or the mark of the beast, so they thought that surely the year being 1666 marked the end of days. Just ignore that one, it doesn't matter. So, you have a lot of people believing the world will end, and then in September you have the Great London Fire, which burned for 3 days and destroyed tens of thousands of homes and buildings. Thinking the world was ending was probably a pretty fair guess at that point.
11.
The year 2000 and the Y2K bug was a serious worry for many people who believed everything electronic would just stop when the date clicked over to 010100. To be fair, this was a concern, as most computers recorded dates in a series of two digits and hadn't been taught about millenniums, but there were patches and fixes in place long before December. Still, some people believed planes would fall out of the sky, the power grids would go down, bombs would or would not go off willy-nilly as they saw fit, nuclear power plants would melt down, and Luddites would wag their fingers at the rest of us for relying on computers too much. That obviously didn't happen.
10.
The prophet Hen of Leeds laid eggs that said, "Christ is coming," and generally caused a panic. Unfortunately, this turned out not only to not be the end of the world, but not even the hen making the predictions, as her owner was writing on the eggs and, returning them up the hen. Because it makes sense that when/if Christ does return, the message will surely be printed on eggs, in English. Said owner of hen, one Mary Bateman, was later hanged for murder of a couple she fed poisoned pudding, also in 1806.
9.
Al Gore has made some pretty dire predictions over the years. By now, the ice sheets should be completely melted, polar bears should be a distant memory, India and China should be half underwater, and Europe should be in a full-on ice age, or subtropical climate, because we're all using fossil fuels. However, just like Christian Doomsday diehard followers, the dates just keep getting pushed back.
8.
When Hongming Chen founded his cult, the Chen Dao or True Way cult, he went for the gusto, combining Taoism, Buddhism, a rule of each person having three souls, and UFOs. At one point, he moved his cult from Taiwan to Garland, Texas, because Garland sounded like Godland to them, and they wanted to wait for the rapture in God's land. The rapture was going to start when God appeared on American cable on March 31st, 1998, because how else would an all-powerful deity return to Earth other than morning cable? When that didn't happen, Chen tried to get his followers to crucify him, literally, and they declined.
7.
The Zeta Reticuli were supposed to come crashing into our planet and cause all sorts of ruckus in May 2003, but it appears we were stood up. Nancy Leader became aware that she was a contactee for the Zeta in 1993 and has apparently been used in their genetics breeding program. When her 2003 alien invasion predictions didn't come through, she claimed she made up the predictions to, quote, fool the establishment. Well, fool me once, and I'll let you know. She still maintains a website and YouTube channel, as well as a helpful map listing places you can safely flee to when Planet X enters our orbit and starts causing havoc. It should be noted that the way Leader describes the Zeta, they bear a disturbing resemblance to Lord Voldemort.
6.
The Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn is partly on this list just because it has a really cool name, partially because they were a magic cult in Great Britain, active through the early 20th century, that studied and practiced the occult and metaphysics and fun things like astral travel and alchemy. But mostly they're on the list because they predicted the world would surely end sometime around 2010-2011. They weren't really specific on how, though.
5.
Hal Lindsey is a current evangelical pastor who keeps predicting the date of the rapture of the Christians, the second coming of Christ, and the end of days. In his book, The Late Great Planet Earth, published in 1970, Lindsey claimed that current events were leading up to the world ending on December 31st, 1988. That book, which, by the way, was made into a movie, spawned a trilogy of books on questionably fear-mongering theology, including Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth, and The 1980s, Countdown to Armageddon. These days, Lindsey is mostly keeping to vague, surely we are in the last of days rhetoric.
4.
It might seem as if Western culture and weird offshoots of Christianity in particular have the market on doomsday cornered, but let us look to our friends in the Eastern world. Aum Shinrikyo is a doomsday cult from Japan founded in 1984. Aside from carrying out some chemical weapons-based terrorism in Tokyo in the 90s, this cult also predicted the world would end via nuclear war in late 2003. In 2007, they disbanded into two smaller groups.
3.
No doomsday list would be complete without the Mayan prophecy, though it's pretty murky as to whether it meant the end of the world or the end of an age and the beginning of a new enlightened age. The original assumed end of all things date was December 2012. However, when that didn't happen, it was explained that due to the differences between the Gregorian and Mayan Ha'ab calendars, the date of doom was actually June 3rd, 2016. As of this video, we are neither completely destroyed nor enlightened.
2.
In the mid-1800s, a farmer in New England named William Miller announced that he had studied the Bible and figured out when God was going to destroy the world, April 23rd, 1843. Much like with Harold Camping, many of his followers sold or gave away their possessions and just hung out awkwardly all day waiting for awful things to happen, kind of like waiting for a sneeze, and then were oddly disappointed when awful things didn't happen. Some of his followers did, however, go on to form the Seventh-day Adventists.
1.
A fringe group of Christians calling themselves the End Times Prophecies released a video saying the magnetic poles of the Earth would suddenly flip and that it would make the stars race across the sky and create a vacuum that would pull the atmosphere to the ground. Thankfully, we have NASA and science to explain that pole reversal happens all the time on a geological clock, and it takes hundreds of years. In other words, yes, the poles are reversing, and it's okay.
And it's okay because this is the real BS show.
.com.
There you go. Matter of fact, if you want to email us, it's called the real BS show at gmail.com.
Right.
And you can let off a little steam if you feel like it.
That's right.
And, well, I think we've muddied up the waters pretty good
Yeah.
Tonight?
I think so, yes.
You want to end with something a little more happier?
Yes.
You got anything?
I think so, yes. Something a little bit more on the brighter side.
Yeah, okay. Well, Seth, that's your job. You're to brighten things up.
Yeah.
I'm the skeptic.
Well, I'm skeptical too, but you know, the S part doesn't really brighten things.
Well, it depends where it lands.
That's
true. Well, remember, folks, we're going to leave you with some happy music, but make sure you question everything. That's my advice.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Get to the bottom. Okay, Seth, take it away.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Come on! Always look on the right side of life. For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow.
So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath.
Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep them laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And
always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
Come on, don't give up. From nothing, you know what I say? Cheer up, you old bugger. Come on, give us a grin. There you are. See? The end of the film. Incidentally, this record's available in the foyer. Someone's got to live as well, you know. Who do you think pays for all this rubbish?
They're going to
make the money back, you know. I told him. I said to him, Bernie, I said, they'll never make that money back.